What is Whitney Houston's favorite type of coordination?
Hand eye.
Oh, I love it.
Right? That's a great joke, isn't it? Oh, we're back.
Welcome to The Paddock, a podcast featuring stories following Formula One around the world. I'm Lawrence Barreto, senior writer at F1.com.
And I'm Chris Medland, F1 correspondent at Racer.
And I'm Nate Saunders, deputy editor at ESPN.
So you're still deputy editor, Nate?
Yep. I had a brief week as editor, and then I've been put back in my place.
Didn't go well for you then?
No, it didn't.
Did you have a meeting? Did they sit you down?
It was Zoom meeting, and they're like, "You need to get back in your box, mate." So that was fun. How's everyone?
Very good. I'm pretty hot. It's sweaty right now, isn't it?
I thought you're being really arrogant. I'm really hot.
As I said it, I realised what I was saying. So apologies.
Yeah. No, it is. It is ridiculously warm today. So
I've got 34 degrees on my phone.
I've got 34 degrees. And I've erroneously left the washing machine going, so I've had to move out of where I normally do these podcasts, and I'm sat on the stairs. Turns out it's a bit of a sauna here. Very glamorous.
I did wonder why the backdrop was different.
Yeah, sorry. It's not very exciting. I haven't got any fancy pictures like you, Nate.
I know. Well, one of them you'll be surprised to know is the Indy 500, and the other one is the Le Mans 24 Hours, both of which I've been to.
Hang on.
No, wait, sorry. One of them's Monaco. I've ordered Le Mans 24 Hours because I've been to that. I've been to all three.
I forgot
which one I've got. So I'm gonna have the triple crown on my wall.
That's what I was gonna ask. So you beat Fernando Alonso to it.
I did, yeah, I did. You know, not that I'm counting, but we did it on the grid, didn't we? We had a ceremony. There were a lot of people there. I think there was there was all sorts of VIPs there. Not for me, but
they were there.
Yeah, they were there.
And you
I'm pretty sure you said ceremony. Passes? Didn't we take a photo of you with all three passes around your neck?
Yeah. And it was very cool. And I maintain it was.
And were you wearing your Indy 500 t-shirt as well?
I was, yeah. The famous Indy 500 t-shirt, which I no longer wear now. It's kind of just been retired to my drawer.
But, well, you've achieved everything, Nate. So I suppose you may as well retire it.
Yeah. You know, when you've achieved everything you can, you just think, you know, what's the point? Your motivation goes down. So, you know, you chase a dream for so long and you get it. What is there to do?
That Indy 500 t-shirt, just throwing in a side story, but I had to buy, alongside Nate, about 9 of those at one stage during a road trip when we went to Indianapolis because of a bet that a lot of us had lost. I don't know if you were in on this bet, Barreto.
I wasn't, no.
Oh, you're unlucky because it means you don't have one of these iconic red t-shirts.
Yeah, but I nearly bailed out of it, didn't I, of this bet, by jumping into a pool in France. And a pool of somebody's garden that wasn't public property, and we were walking back and someone said jump in there and the bet's off, and I was like okay, but I didn't do that. I held firm and I won.
Is that because you really wanted the t-shirt?
No, he had the t-shirt.
No,
Nate already had this t-shirt, and we made a bet with him, which I'll let him explain what the actual bet was about. But the t-shirts were, if we won the bet, as in a collective group of people, Nate had to burn the t-shirt, and if Nate won the bet, we all had to buy the t-shirt and wear it on the grid at a race.
Yep. So what happened was, I'm trying to remember the year now, 2018 I think this was, start of the year, things weren't looking great for McLaren, and we were talking about Eric Boullier, who at the time was in charge of the team. Now, you guys know me, when I've had a few to drink, I start to get very confident in my predictions or my bets or whatever.
No.
So I said very confidently, I was like, I don't think Boullier is going to make the end of the season. And everyone else there was like, yeah, I think he will. And I was like, if he doesn't, I will burn my, I was wearing the Indy 500 t-shirt. And I was like, if he doesn't, I will burn my Indy 500 t-shirt. And as soon as I said it, I was like, this is a terrible bet. Should not have made it. And everyone there was like, we'll take it. And there's like suddenly 7 or 8 people who had taken the bet. And then the French Grand Prix that year, I was getting worried about it, blah, blah, blah. But that's when they actually got rid of him. So then I think it was the Italian Grand Prix that year, everyone had them on the grid. And the most awkward thing was, people at McLaren were like, why are you wearing the shirts? I was like, well, just no reason. We're just a little bit weird, aren't we? Couldn't really explain it to them. But now they know.
So now they know. I wonder how they're going to feel about that, Nate.
Yeah, I think they'll be okay.
Given the way it's gone since. I think they're all right.
Yeah, I think it's turned out okay.
They love you, so it'll be fine.
Yeah, hope so.
If Eric listens to this, maybe it'll be a different matter, but...
Felt bad about the human cost of the bet, you know? There was a human cost there. But, you know, I think everything's okay. Everything worked out.
I've got a quick Eric Boullier story, seeing as we're talking about him, and we may never do on this podcast again. He uses the same car wash as me. So one day, I went to wash my car. It's at a garden centre, not too far from Windlesham. And parked it up, dropped the keys off, and went to stand out in the shade. And who would come and stand next to me but Eric Boullier? Who, incidentally, I think still lives around here, even though he hasn't worked for McLaren for quite a while.
That is one of the most middle-class stories I have ever heard, that you bump into former Formula One team principals at the same car wash while waiting for somebody else to wash your car. And that car wash happens to be at a garden centre. That's peak. Yeah,
that was peak middle-class England, that.
It's a very good car wash. They do a very good job. Better than what I could do.
I hope so. Do you want to name them as well, Beretta, while we're here? You know,
I think we'll move on. I'm going hot. I'm going red. That's the second time I've called myself hot in this podcast.
Outrageous.
It's all going downhill before we
podcast title,
really
the one where Beretta is hot.
Goes to one car wash and a garden centre. I think he's all that.
Yeah. It's done for the ego.
Okay. Well, at least I don't go blagging cars as much as Medlin does, so that makes me feel slightly better.
True. I do steal a lot, including McLaren's. But I tell you, talking of car washes, we're coming up to the Spanish Grand Prix, and one of the places we stayed for testing a couple of years ago was down this huge dirt track that was... I mean, it wasn't even a rally stage. It was so difficult to negotiate. I think we all agreed to basically try and go in one car as often as possible. But it was so filthy and dusty. Like, you were driving through the middle of nowhere. You thought you were going to die up there, I won't lie. That was just like the route to the Airbnb was... It said it was a road, but it was like a salt course for a 4x4, basically.
Cool.
So yeah, you drop your car off and it was absolutely filthy by the end of the week. Like, where have you taken this? And it was just to our little Airbnb, which was stunning when you got there. It was this was always the best part of pre-season testing for me, apart from, you know, seeing new cars and stuff and doing my job, was the Airbnbs, because we had some pretty weird and wacky places that we'd stay. And this one was used in a music video because we wanted to keep it for the second week. And we had it for the first week of testing, and I think we looked into having it as two separate bookings. We'd go and stay in the city in Barcelona in between tests just to have some fun. And we tried to book it for the second week, and the woman that owned it was like, sorry, no, I've got a music video being filmed here. And it was that sort of place. It was bonkers. Yeah, like the shower room was basically an aquarium, like on the walls and stuff. It made it feel like you're in an aquarium, and you walked down steps into it. I had a huge freestanding bath, I think behind the headboard of the bed I was in, which was at the top floor, and it had three glass walls that overlooked, because you're up on the top of this hill looking out towards the sea, that was stunning. And then you had like a decking area that was like fake grass and these weird like pink flamingos to sit on, and it was bonkers. It was brilliant, but crazy. Like, there's
such a baller.
It was cheap, really cheap. February, nobody wanted it. Oh, Nate was there with me and Edmondson as well.
Yeah. And I remember we watched NASCAR like one night, didn't we? Because, you know, we got back in, there was some NASCAR, and we were looking around this house. Like, this is the weirdest experience in a long while, watching a NASCAR race surrounded in the flamingos that Med has mentioned. There was all those sweet machines as well, which we couldn't actually unlock, but they were all over the place. So, you know, we were tantalizingly close to like really nice candy. We just couldn't get to it.
Yeah, it's true. I think it was the Daytona 500, wasn't it? That was on.
Yes. About that sort of time of year, it would have been.
Yeah, we were watching that. It was so bizarre. It's not the sort of place you want to be on your own, because obviously it got dark pretty early in that time of year, and you'd be in the middle of nowhere in a very creepy but cool house. But yeah, that was a good one. And then we went to the next one for the second week, and we got in there, and it looked great on the pictures again, a bit like the first one. And when we got there, they gutted it. There was nothing inside it, like hardly any furniture or anything, because they were selling it. That they drained the swimming pool. Not that we were ever going to use it, but that looked weird. And it was just really, really basic. And then I seem to remember an episode that involved Nate having to climb over a fence.
Yeah, well, this story does actually loosely involve Mr. Barreto, only because he was there at the beginning of this story when he, myself, And do you think we can name another person? I'm going to say a Red Bull press officer who used to work for Williams and Prema and has a French sounding name that's the same as a former world champion from 1997 season. I don't think that gives anything away.
And a double barrel surname.
Double barrel surname, yeah, exactly. Initials HS. anyway, the three of us went out drinking and. You know, I'm pretty sure it's the end of the final day of testing. And usually those have been pretty intense weeks and you like to let off a bit of steam. So the three of us hadn't caught up in a while, had a bit too much to drink at this place. And I got into a taxi and I couldn't quite remember the address I remember of where we were staying. So I had to show the taxi driver the address on my phone. He eventually worked it out. And then I just got a Monzo card and I remember trying to transfer money from one card to another because I couldn't pay. That took about 10 minutes and this guy has just sat. Like, I'm just basically justifying every preconception he has about the English, in the back of his cab. Finally managed to pay the guy, get out, and then realize I can't get in to the place because I think we didn't have the clicker for the main entrance. And you guys had told me the way to get in, hadn't you? So I had to climb over and then walk in a very specific way over the emptied out swimming pool, which is always kind of a weird horror film style vibe anyway. And I'm pretty sure I nailed it. I think I came in, and then the only thing I did was when I came in, it had those blinds across the on the inside of the window, and I managed to step and like basically rip all of that down. And because it was literally the only thing in the house, we were like, well, we're not going to be able to hide the fact that I've done that. But I think we got away with it. But yeah, so that was pretty fun, and I think Barretto got home completely safely. So I had this. It doesn't sound as good when I tell it, but I remember the wall being at least 50 foot high. You know, I had to climb up, down. That's how I remembered it.
It was like 8 foot, but yeah, I mean, we'll give you that. I'm not even that high.
But I'm smaller than you, Meadows, so it was about 50 foot for me.
True that. But you're right, the clicker had gone because Edmondson had it in his bag that had been in his car when he went to a Ferrari invited dinner.
No.
And that bag disappeared from the boot because they love stealing our stuff there.
Yeah, El Trabuc, that restaurant.
That's the one.
On the edge of Grenoyes. It's quite a haunt for F1 personnel, isn't it? Every year. And it was just unfortunate that he had his passport and stuff in his bag as well.
Everything, yeah.
Everything.
And yeah, I mean, robberies or thefts are quite common. Yeah, Barcelona. I know that a couple of years in a row, the cars in the car park, when you've got the sticker on the car and it says who it is, so ESPN or another TV broadcaster, it's quite easy for people to realise that there might be stuff of value in the boot. And unfortunately, they managed to dodge security, get into the car park, and there's been quite a few break-ins, isn't there, over the years, I think. So that's one of the downsides.
You've made it. You don't feel like you've made it in F1 media, though, until you've had something stolen or your car broken into.
Did you have something stolen in Monza, Nate?
I did. Monza 2016. I took Meadows and Kate Walker back to their place and drove to the other side of Milan, stopped up, went to the boot to take my bag out, and the bag wasn't in there. And I'm being like, that's weird. So I called Meadows up, kind of frantic at this point, because I was like, where's my bag? Turned out they just have these clicker things where they, you know, they can open up your car. And the stupid thing was I'd left my bag with everything in there. Luckily my passport and stuff was in my suitcase, so I was okay. But yeah, over the days that followed, I was like, I've made it, you know. I finally had something stolen on the road in Formula One. But yeah, joking aside, obviously it sucks when we hear like photographers getting all their kit swiped. It's bad in Barcelona. It can get really, really shady.
Yeah, I seem to remember one of the days when lots of back car windows have been smashed in for people trying to get into them. And they couldn't believe how many it had gone through and security hadn't noticed that so many of the cards in the press car park had been smashed. But different people working out if their car was involved or not. And one person taking it particularly badly, seeing as everybody was kind of in the same boat and they were a bit disappointed and deflated. But they were all hire cars and you're like, we'll have to get it sorted. But clearly it's not our fault, as in the journalist's fault. It was liability on the circuit. And just one person, when they found out it was them, just effing and blinding non-stop, sat in the press room, like louder and louder and louder on their own. And I won't name names, actually, but to the extent that they were just waiting for someone to react and sort of say, oh, you're so unlucky. But so many people had the same. Everyone was just completely ignoring them, which was winding them up even more. So they were swearing louder and louder. And eventually people were just finding it hilarious. But yeah, it does happen far too often there. And it is bad when someone steals your stuff, but I guess sometimes you can't blame other people if you like physically lose some of the valuable things, like, you know, I don't know, keys to get into a place, which Nate's definitely done a few times.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a theme of this whole series, isn't it? Let's be honest. But I'm very good at losing keys. In fact, unrelated to this, I remember we were on a road trip once, Meadows, and we got to the next place. We're in another country, and I looked through my bag, and I was like, "Oh, I've still got the key for the last hotel." I think in Switzerland, and we were now in Italy. And you looked at me like, "Well, what do you want me to do about that?" I was like, "I don't know. What should I do?" We just didn't mention. I think they emailed me and said, "Do you have the key?" And I was like, "Yeah, I took it by mistake. I'm really sorry. What should I do? I still got it somewhere."
Talk about mementos.
Just in case I ever want to go back. But yeah, there was might have been the same year. I lose track of the years with this thing. But I assume this is the car key story, right? Not the other one.
Well, there's a couple of stories, but yeah, go with the car key story.
Yeah, car key story. I remember being incredibly stressed out about losing my keys, losing my car keys. 1 year, and it was the year I had the hire car. Now, there's a good reason. There's many reasons that Lawrence Edmondson now makes him the only person who gets ESPN hire cars. This is one of the many stories. And I was just frantically worried about these keys all day. I realized at about 3 p.m., like, I can't find where the car keys are. And usually they're buried deep down in the bag somewhere. This went on and on. I was asking everyone if you've seen them. Maybe you've kicked them under the desk somewhere. You know, we're in a kind of routine day of testing as well. So I spent most of that day, instead of doing our live, like walking around to different teams, being like, have I dropped a set of keys here? Nope. Yeah, no one had seen them. No one had seen anything. So I was like, oh, man, all right, well, this is crazy. They vanished. Someone must have swiped them. I can't remember why now, but I walked back to the car, or someone walked back to the car with me. I think because we were just like, oh, maybe like check the car. That was it. Check the car still there, because if someone's taken the keys, they might have taken the car. Get back to the car, and as soon as I get back there, I'm like, oh, what's that there? And next to the car was a small shiny object, which was the car keys, which I'd obviously dropped next to the car in the morning when leaving the car. So not only had no one stolen it, but they'd just been sat there all day next to my car. And yeah, so pretty impressive.
Lucky.
Lucky that someone hit those.
I feel like we should put that in there, because of all the stuff we were talking down about Barcelona, that was either a very, very nice set of criminals that day, or they just didn't see it. So very lucky, because that would have been an absolute nightmare. Because I mean, I would have had to go to the car company and been like, so I just dropped. Do I get covered? Please don't make me pay the money.
I think I took out the insurance that says leaving the keys on the floor is fine. So yeah. Jokes on you.
What do you mean I didn't? What do you mean that doesn't exist? Oh, come on. So, yeah.
So I've got a hire car story that isn't related to Barcelona, but it's similar to the story that it took 2 hours because of traffic to get into Belgium. It was one of the first races where, like, we had a lot of Max Verstappen fans, and that local area just couldn't cope with it. So we were, like, 5-10 minutes late for the start of practice. And we just got the car so quickly that I didn't realise that I'd left the keys and the car running. Shut the door, went into the circuit, did a full, I don't know, 10-hour day, came back, and it's dark at this point, and the lights are on. I was like, that's weird. The car sensed that I'm, like, getting close, and it's just, like, popped the lights on. And then I'm edging closer, and there's just a horrible smell. And I was like, oh, this is not good, is it? What's happened? Get into the car, and the car's running. And I was like, well, this is quite good, isn't it? The car's just started up for me. I got there. So bear in mind, I'm not a complete idiot. This was the first time that I'd driven the car. It was like a hire car. It was one of those 500 XL things. Got in the car and I was like, oh no, but it stinks. And what had happened is the car just run all day, but it clogged up all of the filters. So I don't know what, so there was some sort of burning smell, and it had used about a third of the tank of fuel. But A, no one nicked it. So you would, if you walked past the car, you'd have known that the keys were in it and it was running. But B, the thing still worked. I took it for like a 20-minute drive to clean out the filters. It was fine for the rest of the weekend. But has that ever happened to you guys?
That's amazing.
I cannot believe how A, stupid I was, and B, lucky I was.
Well, things that have made me think how stupid you are have definitely happened before, but not that one. I'm amazed at the economy as well. Just leave it running for 10 hours and only a third of a tank. I know you're not driving anywhere, but still.
Yeah, no, you're right. I was shocked, really.
we should do a test of people and leave that car running and then leave my hire car with the keys next to it in a car park together and see which of them gets stolen first. Just leave it. Just film that in a car park and just see which one goes first. Because it might just be that they both survive forever. Because people are like, no one would be that stupid. They must just be around the corner. This must be candid camera. There must be like police waiting around the corner to nick
me. Or someone hiding in a bush with a camera trying to catch you out.
Which is exactly what it will be.
That's true, actually. That's the whole premise of the show, isn't it?
The heat's getting to me.
I'm fine with it because it's not my car. So.
Also, another very middle class story from Barreto. Like, the car's just turned on for me. Oh, that's lovely. Oh, the car engine's coming.
Drives, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. Expecting other people to do things for him.
I can see how it happened. He got out of the car and normally just flicks the keys to the porter. And he's just got like, pucker up, Jeeves. But not at Spa.
Yeah.
I have recently stayed at a hotel where they did that for me. You just...
Valet.
Someone's there and they... But that's not middle class. That's just a facility of the hotel.
Yeah, to be fair, I quite like using a valet if you go to a hotel like that, but then hate the whole thing of, because normally in America and having to tip and not knowing how much to tip. And I had it once while I was there for the Indy 500 and I had a V8, I'm trying to think what it was. I think I had a Dodge and they enjoyed driving that each morning. But there was one guy, so most of the time you see they're being very careful and they don't want you to kind of think they're an idiot or something like that. And one morning it was loud coming in. I was like, oh, something, yeah, this guy's enjoying the fact that this has a loud engine. And I got in and it was in like track mode for the 200 yards he'd driven it from the car park into the entrance to the hotel. And I was like, mate, I'm surprised there's any rubber left on the rear wheels. But yeah, at the same time, I was like, fair enough. I'd have done it if I didn't care about my job and wanted to drive a fun car. So.
On this topic of valets, Edmondson and I were in Abu Dhabi, I think 2017, it's the year of the Rosberg Hamilton showdown, and went downstairs to get the car, and the valet was like, yeah, I took the ticket, went downstairs, came back on and was like, are you sure you left it here? And we're like, yeah, we're staying here, that's giving you the ticket. And we had to wait for about half an hour and they kept coming back up saying, you sure? Like, I had to go downstairs and look for the car and we couldn't find it. And then very suspectly, let's go with that as a word.
At least you don't work with them.
Yeah, exactly. This car came roaring around the corner and then went into the car park and we didn't see it. And then the guy came back upstairs and was like, hi, we found your car. It was in the car park all along. And I was like, I mean, I was just down there and I couldn't find it. Went down and there was this car that, you know, when a car has clearly just like revved up to a place, it was still warm. There was like fresh skid marks on the floor, like where it skidded into the thing. He was like, here it is. It's been here the whole time. I was like, has it though? Because I'm pretty sure the valet was just like out with it that morning, you know, just running his errands or something. And because we were running late, we were like, okay, fine, we'll take it. And I don't think we actually ever like complained to the hotel about it. But on the drive in, we were kind of laughing. Like, that was definitely a guy just kind of playing around with our hire car in the morning.
Let this be their warning. This is exactly the complaint.
This is it. He gives the complaints.
I've got another hire car story while we're here.
This is kind of the hire car episode, isn't it?
It tells you how boring the Spanish Grand Prix normally is, to be fair.
I know. I have a feeling it's going to be really boring this year as well, isn't it? But anyway, without trying to get too down. In Brazil, they have a valet there when we stay at the Hotel Transamerica. And it's an underground car park. So we got back late, left the lights on. Then they took the car in with the lights on. Brought it out in the day. Don't need the lights on, but it's one of those ones where they don't go off automatically. So drove to the circuit, forgot that the lights were, or didn't even think that the lights were on. Did the full day at the circuit, come back. Obviously, the car doesn't start. They're quite... You guys have driven in Brazil, have you?
Yep.
They're quite old. I don't know how to describe them, but without... using an unnecessary word, but they're not great cars that they've got out there.
Do it. Swear.
No, because if we swear do that, if we do that, then it gets, doesn't it get listed under like a certain area? Then yeah. So
you make my editing job so much harder if you do that.
Yeah, I won't do that.
Be polite. Anyway,
so the car didn't start. So then we had to spend ages trying to find someone with leads, like jump leads. That's what happens, right? When you have to jump a car. I obviously didn't have a clue what to do. So we had to not only find the leads, but find someone who could actually jumpstart the car. Oh, this story's getting less good now because they jump started it and we went home. But that was the story of like another element of me being pretty stupid with a hire.
We need that sound effect, you know, for the end of that story.
Oh, I got really excited when I started telling it. And sorry, I've disappointed you all. Well, that was the train. If you heard
that train is always brilliantly timed for these shows. We have to make it a feature.
Was that Niao guy?
That could have been. Does he live with you?
I'm at uni.
Yeah, well, I've never revealed my true identity, but yeah, that is me.
Greatest thing you've ever done.
To try and bring it back to Spain, have you guys got any other more Spanish-esque stories that we want to slot in before we end?
And I'm going to say... I love the cart track there, but Nate gets bored when I talk about that. But that's my highlight of ever going to the Spanish Grand Prix, really. That and going to watch Barcelona games is always fun. Kind of one, right? So a few years ago now, Barcelona played Bayern Munich in a Champions League quarterfinal, maybe semi-final, around in the week before the Spanish Grand Prix. And it worked out perfectly. It was a Wednesday night before the race. Wheels arrived on a Wednesday and thought, oh, could actually go to the game. And we're staying in Barcelona. So had a look at tickets, and tickets were damn expensive. But was thinking, how many times is it all going to line up like this? So I committed to stealing as much stuff as I could from team catering all week and trying to save as much money as possible, because I went for it and bought one of these tickets. And three of us went, I think, or four of us, but we all sat in different spots. Just all of them were individuals' tickets rather than a group. And it was a pretty turgid first half that was 0-0. And I remember sitting there thinking, what have I done? And flicking through Instagram and seeing, like, there was a couple of drivers there that were in, like, hospitality and things. I was like, yeah, a lot of people are taking advantage of this, but it's not costing them a fortune. And then the second half was an absolute epic, and Messi just ran riot, scored two quality goals. I'm trying to remember who got the third. It might have been Neymar back then. And they won 3-0, and the place went absolutely bonkers. And I remember getting in the next day to the track, and a few people had seen it on my Instagram that I'd been at the game, and people would not stop asking about it and talking about it. By far the biggest talking point of the whole weekend that anyone spoke to me about was nothing to do with Formula One at all. They were just so jealous of this football game. But it was a pretty special night, actually. I will admit, one of the perks of this job is when you get to, because Nate and I do it quite often, actually, we'll go to sporting events if we can. In fact, yeah, we had a plan, didn't we, the three of us that were scuppered this year, where we were going to go to the French Open at Roland Garros after Monaco. Yes. Beautifully planned, go up on the train, and then, you know, coronavirus happened.
Ruined everything.
Gutted.
And reminds me of, I think, 2 years ago when we went to see Barcelona on the Saturday between tests. And then the following Tuesday, they had an epic comeback against Paris Saint-Germain in the second round. And we were in a little bar watching that. And the play, I mean, even that was just insane. Like, people jumping on us and stuff. And I put that on Instagram, like, that celebration. And same with what Meta said. People were messaging me like, oh, my God, please tell me you're at the Nou Camp. I was like, no, I wasn't. I'm here for testing. They're like, yeah, enough about that. Well, how was the football? Like, what's the vibe of the city like? And I was like, oh, yeah. So Barcelona, when there's football on, is pretty impressive. It's like it just worships football.
I remember that. Wasn't there a guy that had his shirt off who jumped on you? He was swinging his shirt around.
I
remember the winning goal going in and carnage breaking out. And we'd all got really caught up in it by then. And as Nate sometimes hints at, we might have had a beer or two in this bar. And yeah, just some locals that went absolutely bonkers. And yeah, I just seem to remember a guy being topless and jumping around with us. And
I think everyone but us had basically taken their shirts off at that point. We were being professional and, you know, we're like, no, we can't.
Just throwing things.
Well, yeah. I think I had my F1 parcel underneath my shirt. So I was like, oh, I take that off. That's definitely getting swiped. So I thought, leave everything on. But yeah, it was that's crazy, isn't it? That we're F1 journalists, and our best memory of Spain is two Barcelona games and a bunch of hire cars that shouldn't have been sold. but hey, it's a great circuit for testing, guys. It's a great circuit for everyone's talking about Sector 3. That famous quote.
It's a good circuit for a track run.
It is. Yeah.
It is. Although it smells like a meat factory, because there is a meat factory quite close by. So it's not that pleasant, is it?
Well, sometimes I smell it, though, and I think it smells like Nutella.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. And other times it smells awful.
Is that because you've just got a jar of Nutella with you as you're running around?
No, I only do that on Fridays.
That's how I get to the finish. I put a jar of Nutella ahead of me and I just chase it until I get to the finish line.
Well, like a fishing rod out in front of you.
Yeah, but what I do is I tell someone to leave a spoon at the finish line, so I know when I get to the finish line, I can just eat the Nutella. That's how I get to the finish.
Have you ever eaten a whole pot of Nutella? Just Nutella?
I've eaten about a quarter of a pot, and then I felt incredibly sad and upset with myself. It's nice on something, but once you have it, you're basically just eating really sweet chocolate, which is nice.
Yeah, I've never done that.
I wouldn't recommend it.
No. Maybe another that's a good place.
I'd say based on how this has gone, we'd like sponsorship from Nutella, from Fiat, and the 500 XL.
Yes.
From the Indy 500, Le Mans 24 Hours, the French
Monaco Grand Prix, and Barcelona Football Club.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you kindly.
Barcelona Football Club got some good coverage today.
And Cartodrome Catalunya.
Yeah, you should have gotten that in nice and early because you really want to go karting again.
Well, apparently it's open. So Barreto and I are off to Spain tomorrow, I believe, as we record this. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of jealous of Nate not going, but I have to go to host the press conferences for Formula 2 and Formula 3. So I'm there with the FIA and Barreto's there with Formula 1 itself, so gets an exemption coming back. But it looks pretty grim over there at the moment, and I think it just would have been a lot nicer to do this race from home. Won't lie.
Don't lie. You're going to be at the kart track for about like a combined 6 hours a day.
I was planning on it. Thursday night, I was going to be, I'll just go straight there. But then I've been given an interview on Thursday evening that I have to do. So it's outrageous. People want me to do work
at
a place of work when my job is related to that work. I mean, it's stupid. Who comes up with these ideas?
Do it at the kart track.
Yeah.
It's on a Zoom call, so I could do it anywhere.
As in, have your laptop balanced on while you're driving around?
I'd watch that.
Maybe we'll do the next episode like that.
Yeah.
Where we're all in go-karts.
Or just you two are in go-karts and I'm trying to maintain law and order.
What we're saying.
Yeah. Could be quite fun. Could be complete mayhem.
Well, Nate, enjoy watching the Spanish Grand Prix from the office. I'm slightly jealous as well.
I mean, it's one of those things, isn't it? I'm jealous of you guys going because I'm starting to miss going. But also, I think the limitations mean that the value of going, I guess, is less. And it does seem like Spain is quite, just quite locked down in general.
Yeah, I hope things obviously get better over there. But at the moment, because of the lockdown, we'll be going from hotel to circuit to hotel to circuit. So we can't do any of the fun stuff that you guys were talking about earlier, you know, going out into the city or going to watch Barcelona or whatever it might be. You can't do any of that this year.
Or karting.
There's always next year, though, chaps. Or karting, sorry. You can see, if any of you could have seen what Meadows' face just looked like, it was one of severe disappointment.
Yeah. And his face saying, hey, what's the place called?
Cartodrome Catalunya.
Yeah, he was like, please give me money. Sponsor me.
Please.
I don't need money. I just want free goes in the go kart.
That'll be in the deal. If you negotiate the deal properly,
you can do that. You are now my agent. No, actually, I take that back already.
Maybe
do
next
you,
year.
Do you want me to be your agent? That would be a terrible career move for anyone.
Not even a little bit.
I would be an awful agent. I wouldn't even want you. I wouldn't even want to be your agent because of how bad a job I'd do.
Oh, Nate, don't be so down on yourself.
No. I mean, you know, I just would be terrible at it. I'd be like, so I'd go into the place, I'd say, here's the money. I'd be like, you know what? You got a deal. And then it just lowballed me and they'd be like, this guy's an idiot. I'd be like, I just wanted to get out of there, you know? It was warm in that building.
Right, chaps, that seems like a good place to leave it there. Good work all. Remember to anyone who's listening to subscribe if you can bear listening to us again. Thanks, Chris and Nate, for your time. You can read about Chris's stuff from Barcelona on racer.com, Nate's stuff on ESPN.com. I don't know why I always pause for the .com on ESPN. And you can read my stuff on F1.com. But for now, that's it. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.